football on off the ball.
Cleared football ultra under Mourinho during the classical wars when it was Mourinho versus Guardiola. There were few, if any, players who were more belligerent, more committed to the Mourinho cause than Arbeloa.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I haven't read this piece. I'm just flicking through the headlines there and I missed it. I played Keno, but Mick was right. Ooh, this is like their... Have you been to see Saipan yet?
Film promotion not going well, no.
Have you?
Numbers aren't great.
Captain Roy Keane's bust up with Ireland manager Mick McCarthy ahead of the 2002 World Cup is the stuff of legend. So Aina Hardwick knew he had big football boots to fill. I'm on Team Mick. Corkman Aina backs manager in Saipan Rare despite playing Roy in World Cup movie. Have they asked him yet about, like, you know, you said something that you didn't actually say? There's fake words coming out of your mouth, sir. If he'd called him an English C, I think everybody would be like, you can't do that. Can't say that, Roy. You can say whatever else you want.
Is Roy ever, it does seem he's one of those rare positions where he can say anything he wants.
I don't think you can, well, certainly I wouldn't have supported him if he'd called him an English C. I think loads of us wouldn't.
I mean, yeah, he has said some horrible things over the years, all things being equal.
Yeah, well, that's in that particular heat of the moment thing.
I mean, who was the guy at Sunderland? Was it Clive Clark?
Oh, yeah, the centre half.
Suffers a heart attack or whatever, cardiac arrest. Surprised they found a heart in there.
I mean, that's a joke.
Well, he wasn't standing over the paramedics.
He survived.
Was he? This is years later.
I don't know if it was that long after.
After he survived.
I'll check into that, but...
It's okay.
Okay.
I think that's a joke. This isn't a joke. Calling somebody an English C to their face. That's,
yeah, I'm not sure how much
I thought he said it live at the event, like when it was happening.
I'm not sure how much the joke would have appreciated. Maybe it was in the book.
Now, it is out.
Check it up.
In the UK this Friday. Saipan. And I would be interested.
Ah, okay. Of course.
How? Yeah, the 23rd of January. So I'd be interested how it's dealt with there when he's doing media, his various media outings. Do they actually mention it to him? Will he say, don't bring that up?
Keen.
I'm not going to talk about it. Yeah.
Well,
because you imagine Wright, you know, being his good friend, will say, watch making that Saipan movie.
I don't think they give it to him. Then we don't give it the time of day.
I would have agreed with you until Steve Coogan got involved and was like, well, Steve Coogan's big enough to make this a talking point.
But they're not getting money out of it. Like, they won't give it. Like, I wouldn't say they would, like, just in terms of, well, they're profiting off my name. We're not talking about it. End of. Like, I'd say that's my guess. I don't know. My guess would be that. It's like, no, they've not. What am I getting for this?
If it's even brought up at the start of the show, and he'll probably just say, I haven't seen it, I'm not going to watch it.
That's my initial instinct, and there is here's an opportunity to wind him up and get him really angry about something, and then who knows what gold will follow.
Yeah, you see, they could start it and he could bring it back up 45 minutes later.
They can't afford to get him too angry. I mean, no more than the likelihood, the story there, like, he is their golden goose. If he walks, the numbers not drop dramatically.
Yeah, he's not walking.
Well, that's not, I mean,
he's missing it.
You wouldn't think he'd walk away from a World Cup either. Well, here we are.
I might have been on the cards, you know. He seems to have got a good relationship with the people involved here. They seem to be catering to his every whim.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to talk about Keane. Sorry, it was. It's just there. But do you want to do the other Man United podcasts now? But in F word blast at Martinez is how the Mirror goes with it. Lissandro told to grow up by Butt is how that one. It's in all the papers. The Butt and Skulls did. They're weekly, I presume, I don't know, with Paddy McGuinness. It's number 9 in the Apple charts, I'm told.
Are you higher now?
No, that was after. They seem to think it's... Butt tells Martinez to grow up. Grow up. This feud with the United defender escalates. When someone gets so upset about someone in the media or in a podcast saying something about him, to come out and start basically saying, they can say what they want, come to my house, grow up. If you're going to get so emotional about someone saying something about you, you shouldn't be at a big club. There's no personal issue with Martinez, said Butt. We're not on Sky doing commentary in a game. It's tongue-in-cheek. We're a podcast and like three lads in a pub having a conversation, said Butt. It's called the good, the bad and the football.
Yeah. I wonder how much longer that defence will keep going. It's just a podcast. It's three guys in a pub. Like, you're in a recording studio. It's like, you know, there's gone out to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Didn't they kind of make, they were joking about Haaland picking him up and carrying him along.
Throwing him into the net, I think.
Like, it was a very, it wasn't like...
Is that not clearly a joke?
But like, you're joking, okay, but it wasn't a joke. They hadn't won that game at that time. it was a joke at his expense. Like, I think he's well entitled. He's well in within his kind of purview to.
Was he asked about it, Martinez? Did he bring it up?
No, I'm not sure.
I think that's the big thing. If he was asked, fair enough. They exchanged DMs, he and Martinez, to see this. And they had done before this event. And Martinez told him in writing on Instagram that I've lost respect for you. This is before the Haaland stuff. So, and Scholes said, I'm going to out this now because he's had a go back at me, so I'm not afraid to say this. They've been DMing each other on Instagram.
Yeah, and he never rang him.
Never rang him.
No. And there's Ian Ladyman in the Mail says wildly differing accounts of why that never happened. I don't know. I think everybody's a little bit right here, right? I think it is that defence, how long will it last, is a reasonable point. You can't just say this doesn't matter because we're pals. They are broadcasting it, and so therefore it should meet some fairly basic standards. Can't libel people, you know, can't incite hatred or standard stuff. But it was clearly a joke. If he's saying he's going to pick him up and put him, you know, that is obviously
that was a joke. But obviously, it was to emphasise that Haaland's going to dominate Martinez.
The implication is you're shit, and you'll get walked all over it.
Yeah, grand. But sure, you want them not to say stuff?
Well, it's like my only thing on the basis.
Let me finish. Martinez is entitled then to come back at them, right? That's fine.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
I have a problem with it because it's not really rooted in anything. Like, again, we were talking about it the other day. It's like, not 2-3 years ago, Martinez was part of a defence with Varane that kept Haaland exactly what happened here. Like, there's not like there was no precursor, like as if this guy had never played before or whatever.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't. Like, he gets, from the get-go, he has been diminished because of how he's perceived in terms of size, in terms of everything else.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of...
It's fair to say opinion is split on whether or not he is good enough to win. So they go on to say they still don't think he's good enough to win a league title, which is their standard. Not qualifying for the Champions League or winning an FA Cup, it's winning the league. That's what they say, and that's their point. And as it went on, they said something which you've taken offence to, he's taken offence to, which they thought was funny. Like,
I mean, I would say I know he didn't play an awful lot, but he was good enough in a World Cup winning squad. So, I mean, he has a bit of pedigree. I do think
is everybody who's on the bench in a World Cup winning squad a World Cup winner? Fair enough, they are, yeah. But are they all rated equally? I don't know.
No, but I'm just saying that, like, they're getting precious about the fact, oh, you're coming back at us. You don't have the mentality for a big club. Even though you've kind of, again, so, like, if they want him to say nothing, that's fine. But I mean, at the end of the day, they're the ones kind of laughing at the end of this because they'll have their podcast gets a boost and it rides along in the coattails of a bigger podcast.
And they are entitled to take the piss if they want to take the piss.
They can, but then you can't be taken seriously. You can't present yourself
It's life is a big, long tapestry. It's an hour and a half long. I don't know how long it is. 40 minutes. I'd say it's way too long. More than likely, my experience with these things is like, oh, Jesus, there's a part four. What? That's a good ad break. 4 ads in that one, well done. 3 live reads.
I just think you can't have it every switch way you want.
You can't, because
this is what happened.
They just did.
But you're not listening to that podcast, are you? You're not inclined to listen to it.
I'm not a Man United fan. It is three Man United fans.
No, Paddy McGuinness Bolton, I think.
Is he?
Yeah, he is Bolton.
Oh, you've listened enough. Right.
I just know Paddy McGuinness.
No, that was before. He outed himself before that.
Did he? Okay.
I think he bought out one of the great gaslighting lines, actually. It was like, if Lisandro Martinez or these players can't deal with what we say on podcasts, you know, they shouldn't be playing for this club. Which is basically giving myself license. I'm going to say whatever I want about any of you. You can't take any of this to offence, but I will also offend you. It's a great line because it's we can say anything we want. You can't take offence to what is said in a podcast. Amazing.
He's also a disgruntled former employee. Like, you know, who's not? I mean, I don't know, again, the exact circumstances, and forgive me for saying, I don't know the exact circumstances. Obviously, a few weeks ago, there was clips going around of him talking about difficulties with tickets, and then on Sunday, he's there, sat beside Alex Ferguson, whoever. He was in the stands. Was it that game or the game before? Maybe the one against Brighton.
I don't think he made the cut for the city again, did he?
Maybe it was one of the lesser ones. But he was definitely there.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay.
Presumably that was in response.
There's nuance, sure.
But presumably that was in response.
I have no idea.
He said something and then they fix it.
I don't know what the crack is, but I just...
Like, they're not unconnected. You're saying that, like, he's disgruntled and And you're saying he's a liar, essentially.
No, no, I'm not saying he's a liar.
I was like, oh.
I said, I literally don't know the details.
Now, you're going to get annoyed at that. Now, you have to respond to that if you have a really good troll.
I just think if you want, so the one thing, not to bring it all back to Keane, right? If from Keane's scenario, right, he will say what he wants about Man United, and there's a degree to that because for all intents and purposes, he seems to have cut whatever ties with the club. He doesn't seem, like, there's no kind of... There seems to be a fairly clear division there between church and state in terms of whatever. I just find it odd, the lads who want it both ways, that you'll slag off. I know Man United are fair game for anyone, but you'll have a go off a player in the team that's likely to start thing, but also want the club to treat you with the utmost respect and everything else because you once played there. It's a weird thing to, like, the club moves on without them. It moves on after you.
It is, but I mean, look, they're playing a game. Skulls and butt, and you wouldn't think that they would because they're cynical lads by nature and they're like, I'm not into this social media stuff, right? But everything they're saying, all that stuff you're watching because that's what's clipped from the podcast. You're not listening to the whole podcast, right? So they're clipping it. So they're playing that game. It's all a game, what they're doing. What they're saying about Martinez is a game. Martinez is responding back. I can't imagine that anyone is actually really personally hurt. And Martinez probably used it as fuel, being like, this is great now, this is great motivation. I would be of the side that everyone's a winner here, for sure.
Is Martinez, does he... I think fair play to him for fighting back. I think actually you're entitled to. I do wonder if the next bad performance, people are queuing up for going, I told you it's no good. And it just ratchets up the pressure.
The other thing is we're talking about this podcast, Skulls and Butt, now because of what was said. And do you think if they didn't say anything controversial, if they just had a nice football conversation, would the podcast ever make it out of the fans that listen to it?
I mean,
I see people complain about the sensationalism and the clickbait and all that, but I don't think people will listen to something that's that nuanced unless you're a real fan of the subject matter or the people involved. You know, you're not going to pick up a nuanced podcast just to see what it's like because there's too much else out there to grab your attention.
Also, Manchester United are fair game, and while they may be disgruntled former employees, they do have like a million games between them, and so they might have some interesting stuff to say. And if they say something that is a joke, clearly, and it is grist for the mill for the player.
There's a running issue in stand-up comedy that there's stand-up comedians out there that are doing crowd work on purpose because they know that will be clipped if there's a camera there that night because it's interactions. So if their set is struggling, they will go to crowd work, and crowd work can be looked down upon in the stand-up community because it's too easy. Right? So every show now, whether it's stand-up comedy or podcasts or radio, need a clip from it. Because really mostly people are watching it through clips. And this is the Skulls Butt Martinez thing. Happy days for them, like their podcast does better from it. Martinez paid really well, used it as fuel. This is great for everyone.
Yeah, I broadly agree with you. I do, like, it is, they're laughing. I don't know. Like, it's a bit tiring.
I see your point of view.
Tiring.
Speaking of tiring, so loads of comments coming in here. Speaking of tiring.
Can I do one of the comments?
Yeah, because I know what you're going to do. Are you going to do about his fan?
Yeah.
Little fanboy there? Little fanboy in the corner?
Yeah,
do you You're a bit worried. You're a bit uneasy about this.
No, I saw it.
Do you know this individual?
I don't think so. You bumped into somebody in real life. IRL.
Let's read this.
Do you know, I just want to say this out to make sure that everybody takes, if you take nothing away from today's show, take this away. When you see Arthur in real life, go to him, give him a hug. He loves that. That's his favourite thing. And tell him, I'm your biggest fan. That's what he likes.
But he does like that.
I'd advise him.
Conor McCabe, F3U. Random one, but Arthur is a lot taller in real life than expected. Looking at him sitting there, I thought he would be 5'6" or 7" at best. At best, the great part of that.
Good God, so the chance I'm 5'3", 4".
I wonder how close Conor got
there. I don't know.
Was this a queue? Were you in a queue recently?
I have a queue every day, like it's modern life.
Metaphorically?
I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah, your fame will grow and the viewings will increase. Carlino, Keith Tracy for Wednesday. We can't let that take off.
Friday, all going well.
Now, All in the Game says, this endless Man United chat is a bit much, lads. I mean, you could be right there, All in the Game. The Australian Open last night. Sophia Kenin is out, of course. Leila Fernandez got the US Open against Emma Raducanu. She's gone. Sloane Stephens, a former US Open champion, is also gone. Last night in the Premier League, Brighton and Bournemouth drew 1-1. an amazing bicycle kick by Costas for Brighton.
18-year-old.
To equalise in the 91st minute. But who would Man United's next manager actually be? That's what Carragher and Henry were talking about last night.
And about 30 seconds there, we weren't on Man United.
That's the bit. They did a whole segment on it.
Yeah.
Nobody can avoid talking about this.
Don't speak about the team top of the league and Champions League enough. It's hard to analyse Arsenal. Before you get into that, like, what do we want to do about Arsenal? Like, how do you make that? It's not quite the same as City, because obviously with City there's the asterisk and everybody has that and there's all the money. But it's like Arsenal, are they going to do it or not? And until they do it, people are doubting Thomas's. But they're not great to analyse.
I've been talking about them for 18 months in this show.
Yeah. It's not box office though, is it? And I don't mean
it's TBC about what Arsenal are going to finish their story here.
It's strange though.
We're just waiting.
You would have considered Arsenal, you know, you view everything through our prism. So like we obviously have a fairly limited zone of interest in terms of like in Ireland there's a whatever number of clubs and kind of obviously Liverpool and Man United are disproportionately represented.
And we have a connection to Arsenal.
Yeah, like Arsenal, the one at Arsenal is huge. Stories, like, and definitely growing up, like,
why can't
obviously
they get
that
the
was
love?
That peak kind of Arsenal, the Wenger era. And it is, because I do think, obviously, if it was Man United or Liverpool in their position, we'd be talking about it every day.
Yeah.
More glowingly.
I think it's. I don't know if it's Arteta himself. There's a coldness to him. Vis a vis business. And all
I
that.
Wonder, is it because they haven't actually got over the line? We're like a bit reluctant to commit to them.
No, because that itself is interesting. That description. You can't quite get over the line. Yeah. Well, that's a good talking point.
And maybe Declan Rice is a barrier.
I think people have softened in that hatred.
Yeah, I don't mind Rice at all.
A few years gone by, he's really fulfilling his potential. It's like, oh, whatever. There was a mistake when you were a young fella. So what? I don't know why people feel that way about him, but it is out there for sure.
Did he say up the rah or up the raw? Would he have had the English accent saying it?
He typed it, I think, didn't he?
So. Oh yeah. Well, when he said it out loud,
he would have maybe whispered to him something. Because I did have interesting you say that about Arsenal and the former version of them under Arsene Wenger, maybe that you're talking about. I had a question here today. It was, who's the best team to watch in the Premier League? Stemmed from a pre-show conversation with Phil Egan outside, which is he struggles to watch Arsenal. Thinks he's football. He doesn't enjoy watching Liverpool. Doesn't think they're very interesting.
The Wenger era had explosive talent. Who you're like, I need to watch Thierry Henry, and then they added Lundberg and Pires.
They probably don't have a talent like that. That you just,
and even before when they were winning the league, they were doing it against Man United with the, like that.
Oh,
like,
true. That helps.
Vieira and
there was great chemistry in that rivalry. You know?
Yeah, I mean,
there was loads of one-on-one battles, like, because it wasn't just Keane Vieira, it was, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo and Ashley Cole, and it was just like there was loads of little niggly bits and all that, and Saul Campbell and Wayne Rooney.
And you committed to it knowing that this was going to last a long.
Yeah, time. and then that died in the late 90s, and then Fergie started feeling sorry for Wenger, and then later years Wenger. When they just used to sign a load of young number 10s and they'd have the odd good night against Barcelona in the Champions League, and that was kind of it, like, and it was top four. And even then you kind of got on board with them more, because back to the question of who's the best team to watch in the Premier League, I'd be interested in people's answers about that. Now, what is best? What does that mean? Basically entertaining. Like, you're looking forward to watching a game involving this team because they play attractive football. They create chances. And the closest answer we got out there this morning was Bournemouth.
Yeah.
But I wasn't racing now to watch Bournemouth Brighton last night.
No, and their form has been so bad.
They haven't won two games in a row since the 13th of September.
Iriola was being touted as the next Man United manager. Carol Leary on the Arsenal point. Arsenal are steady and consistent when everyone else isn't, but unspectacular. Arteta is pragmatic. Things to analyse. One, the influence of hindsight this year versus previous years. Two, how a director of football actually works. Even those topics, not the most interesting, he concedes. So that's it. It's like...
Yeah, I think people always identify that, don't they? If there's a new person on the sideline who's an assistant coach and the team starts improving,
great,
it's like,
timing.
Well, it's this person's influence is massive. Geez, Ainsley will do a lot to piss United off, won't he? He tried to go to Liverpool when he was a player, and now he's a coach at Arsenal.
Villa are good to watch.
One thing. Villa are good to... I don't know about that.
There's a roller coaster element to, you don't know, sorry, the game at the weekend was bad, right? But yeah. If...
yeah, I don't know if I feel
maybe if they'd had Daniel Malin start that game and if he'd scored the goal for them instead of Roma, you'd be like, oh, I don't know what's going on there.
I still think that Villa were better last season, but they're performing brilliantly this campaign.
Well, yeah.
I still think they had a better squad last year.
I mean,
they don't have great depth.
No, there's no depth. It's a disaster. Yeah. Once McGinn went off, you're
so,
like...
So, you know, you used to be able to rely on Spurs to play a bit of ball, and that's gone. You know? Man City are kind of more interesting, in my opinion, now than the version of about 2017, 18, 19.
But the wingers are good to
when they used to score the same goal all the time. They'd run to the byline and cut it back and they'd tap it in, David Silva. And it would actually be beautiful football, but it would get mononymous because it was so consistent. So what are you looking for in a team to watch? They're actually a bit wild themselves. They themselves are a bit inconsistent.
The short period of time when Olise and Eze were fit together.
Yeah, that was brilliant. Yeah. And they used to lament the fact that they didn't play together that often.
Again.
In the rare occasions that they did.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Styles make fights.
They do. Look, Leeds under Bielsa was fairly entertaining.
Leeds are pretty interesting now. There's like a...
Yeah. Well, Elland Road is just a great, great ground.
I still think there's a chance that one of those teams death spirals and that one of the teams, West Ham, make it out.
Mm. You see, I struggle to watch most West Ham games because of that stadium. It's just such an unattractive proposition. It's like the exact opposite of what Highbury used to be for me. There's a woman who used to scream behind the goal, Highbury, when the opposition scored. Every single time. Every time, opposition, she'd let out a big yelp. That was great. Really added to it. There was never a bad game at Highbury, from what I can remember.
Jimmy Crew's pissed off. Sorry, lads. Long time listener. First time commenter, Jimmy.
Never good.
Welcome aboard. Your Arsenal chat has annoyed me no end. You've spent 5 minutes talking about why you shouldn't talk about them. Every Monday you talk about United like clockwork. And then here's a point. Rob 0907. It used to be the people's names and then YouTube decided that they were going to ascribe a number.
YouTube interrupts you halfway through creating your name. Now we'll take it from here.
Now you've totally ruined the flow in it. I think there's a setting you can do to switch on your own name, but I haven't found it. I think there's a jealousy too from Man United fans, as Arsenal were the banter club for over 15 years, says Bravo.
So to be honest with you.
No, it's not. We're saying if you're entertaining with this big
No, brave. I think there is... I think that there's something in that.
I'd go with you if it did. I genuinely don't think so. It wouldn't give a second thought of doing the league.
I never minded Arsenal.
No, personally. It was an interesting kind of thing. Always.
I used to hate Liverpool and all that in Man City, but when they got money, I never minded Arsenal.
The most egregious reason why Arsenal don't get analysed or covered is there hasn't been a lot of magic moments. Set piece FC is not interesting when analysing the 23rd goal from a corner, says Cahir again. And then the last one I'll do for now is Arteta is George Graham, says Bohemian 29.
Closer to George than Pep for sure. We can do a show for people where we just talk about Arsenal and promise that we won't mention United.
You can't though, because stuff happens.
We could do that. We actually have mentioned Arsenal a lot over the last year.
Fool me once, shame on you. Can't get no fools.
They have a great squad. Do you know what's the best thing about
there's
Arsenal?
There's no reason now for them
bench,
not to win
their
the
bench is brilliant. They have an unbelievable option everywhere on the pitch, on the bench. They have cover for every position.
Yeah.
They're like, they are the envy, I'd say, of most other managers.
Like the original Chelsea under Mourinho.
In terms of
two players for every spot.
They've built that squad so well. They could maybe upgrade in their number nine. Because it's not, going back to the point I made about the stand-up comedian thing and getting a clip from what you're talking about, Arsenal aren't going to get much clips, because it's 6 years in the making, Mikel Arteta, and he's kind of steadily improving. And this is what happens. In this day and age, that's not exciting for people.
Yeah.
When do people talk about Arsenal the most? When Arteta used to have his freakouts about VAR. And he stopped doing that now. You know?
Well, it was
a disgrace.
It wasn't just VAR, it was his conspiracy that all the referees were out to get him.
And he talked
that was kind of like, oh, shut up.
Yeah. And then he calmed himself down because they had a red card against Bournemouth last season and he didn't complain about it. And ever since then, he has a new lease of life. And
the team
he just talks about his team, that they're good.
There was a couple of other things we wanted to talk about.
Well,
why was it?
It's just such an open question. It's such an open question to me.
Very excited.
Did we get the...
This is our best work, by the way.
Well, I do have questions for you, like, as I said to you beforehand.
Did we have a winner yesterday of the...
Did you not answer?
We do have a winner. We do have a winner.
Who won?
Yeah. Bear with me 2 seconds.
Here, have people included their address now ever since you asked for it? In the WhatsApp entry.
Their email address.
Yeah. Turns out then you also need another address. It's a big thing. Just you don't need
the tournament.
Yeah, you don't need
it. Void it, including that life. Winner there.
Laura Riley.
Congrats, Laura. 2013, she identified as the year that Wigan Athletic won the FA Cup.
That's a long time ago now.
Yeah. You want something to stop it? Low stop it. So who are we settling on? Who's the best team to watch the Premier League?
Aston Villa.
I'm sorry, I have to disagree with
that. Okay, fair enough. Life is, as I said,
I have to disagree with that.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, Cullum.
I would say, is it United?
No, definitely not, because we still talk about
the style of play all the time. It might be United. Newcastle had a good thing going for a while, but I think they've kind of tailored off a bit. And maybe Chelsea will be good under Liam Rossini. Jamie Carragher did a big piece on their man marking. He's never seen the likes of the man marking that they're doing under Rossini so far.
The Mark Guay transfer ended up being 30 million. I thought it was 20.
20, I heard.
Unless they're including his first week's wages or something. I don't know, that's the Mirror saying that. Top of the morning to Fight Hart Dane. He's staying in the job for now, but like the worst dead man walking you've ever seen. Spurs versus Borussia Dortmund. They've left Matthias Tell out of the Champions League squad. Tell's entourage not happy. The Spurs...
He has too prominent a squad number to be left out of Champions League squads. He's number 11.
Right.
Well, you can't leave your number 11 out.
Dear Spurs, you were destined for failure the moment that you didn't realise that the squad numbers really matter. A bit like... Conor McGregor and his discovery of the value of the numeracy of...
I'm an Arsenal fan. Even I'm bored listening to the Arsenal chat. On social media platforms like Twitter, Arsenal have big numbers. Maybe it's a London thing. Well, I would be interested in the numbers of AFTV this season. Are they lower than when they were struggling? Like the heyday of that channel was the end of Arsene Wenger.
Yeah. Well, they did help to get rid of him, you know? You'd have to say that...
I think it might affect it big time. So we haven't come to an agreement on that, but I don't think anyone has the answer for it. It's the best team to watch in the Premier League. If you haven't, let us know. We'll debate it.
You can let us know. Yeah. Paddy's, it's just completely subjective. Like,
before you get into the... McMillan committed to Munster despite being linked to All Blacks' job is the headline. He did press earlier this week than normal. I made a commitment to come here and I fully intend to see that out. One of the reasons why I came here is to grow my exposure to the game up in this part of the world. There are some differences. We're learning that. I'm living through it and really enjoying that experience, which will make me a better coach in the long term. I really haven't given it much thought about the All Blacks because it's on the other side of the world and I'm here.
Yeah.
It's a difficult scenario, right? Like,
was he a live candidate for it?
I don't know.
All things being equal, like if he'd never come at all to Munster,
potentially. And I don't think they care. Like if they think he's the right man for the job,
among Munster fans last week when Scott Robertson left.
All right,
I can tell you that for a fact.
Right.
Maybe they're not as worried now.
What was the concern?
That the boy might leave.
All right.
And he's only started this project of his.
And then after the game, it was like, go on, I'll drive you. Is that it?
No, they still believe in him.
Oh, God.
They still believe in him.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no, fair play.
Oh, no, sorry, I forgot that you took it all with the legendary stoicism with which your fan base is associated.
Mm. Can I ask you a question? Do you derive more pleasure in other people's pain than your own gain?
That's a great question. Think about that now. Don't come back with a snap answer.
Yeah.
Have a think.
I won't dignify that with a response.
Just in sporting terms, not in real life.
I might ask Gary Keegan a little about that in relation to you. It is really interesting just sitting with you here so many years now, just looking at you and seeing that glint in your eye, especially when it comes to Munster.
There's just...
And Man United.
It's just the queuing up to fire Leo Cullen after every single result, and it's like, no matter what you do at Munster...
Who's queuing up to fire
job for life? Man here.
Absolutely not.
I don't think
fine man.
So. I don't think so.
Sorry, Leo.
You don't think
former neighbour of mine as well, so I wouldn't say that about him.
Maybe you're not paying enough attention.
It's fair. Questions are asked.
Yeah, question, I'm just asking
well,
questions.
The thing. There's
it's
kind
like,
of
I mean, like Joe Rogan and the
no,
and
but
the,
you're see, question, you're having a go at Munster fans. You know, like there's no talking to them. I would say. I mean, it's very respectfully, Joe. There is no talking to Leinster fans at times when you have to ask the hard questions, and the response is generally sarcasm.
It's not even you're not debasing Leo Cullen. You're simply asking, could this be done better?
Yeah. And
but people won't entertain that. It's not slight against him. Maybe he can do better.
I think people are always entertaining that and they're constantly looking to improve is the point. It's like they went and they got Jordy Barrett. Then they went and got Rico Ioane and whoever is going to come next will be
interesting. That's the interesting point.
Who's further along the line? Leo Cullen or Mikel Arteta?
Well, Leo Cullen won the Champions Cup. Mikel Arteta has yet to win the Champions League or the Premier League.
And who's closer now to the respective?
Well, this season to win in this year, or
it could still be Leinster this season.
We don't. I mean, you would say Arsenal are a shorter price to win the league than. So therefore, that's more likely to happen.
Okay. Do let us know, Ger, that the answer to that question that I asked you a few minutes ago. Elsewhere, who's the second biggest star in Gaelic football? This stemmed from a post-show chat yesterday regarding David Clifford. Well, David Clifford's an unequivocal star. And this is off the back of Declan Bogue talking about how there could be 10,000 more people at club finals. Mm. Like club finals made stuff. I was thinking, well, you were saying afterwards, I think it needs the stars. These clubs need the star players to attract the casual fan to go along and just watch them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, David Clifford, we used the example. I was like, okay, yeah. Who's second biggest? Shane Walsh would
it
like
does depend on your parameters. So David Clifford's the biggest star, but also probably the most talented player.
Yeah. Oh, so you think it could be not necessarily to do with on pitch?
I don't think they necessarily have to be
attacking players.
No, but I don't think that those things necessarily need to be both true every time. One could be higher than the other, disproportionate. You could have a better player who's no star at all. You could have a star who's inferior to people on his own team. So it depends what your parameters are. Like if you're going someone who's going along, just someone to attract in on name alone, basically.
Yeah.
Who's on your list? What, do you have someone in mind when you're talking about that?
Well, like the talent thing aside, because it's hard to tell with the team he plays in. But we mentioned yesterday. But like in terms of recognisability and everything else. I mean, Michael Murphy's right up there. It's doubt due to longevity as well. But like I do feel he's again, it's like I don't know if any is any beyond Clifford, like is any Gaelic footballer or whatever truly nationally famous in that way where it's like you put them on and it's like everyone knows who that is. Most rugby players wouldn't be by any stretch, like in all four corners of the country. Sexton would have been, obviously, O'Gara, O'Driscoll, all those boys. But like, it's not a given. I do think you have to transcend a certain amount of thing to really get that kind of thing that Clifford has, where you could go anywhere and they'll know David Clifford. And they might know of other people. They might know the names of, but it's like, right, if you sat someone down in front of them, do you know who Sean O'Shea is on site? Many people will, but I don't know if it's a very tough thing to, I think Murphy has it maybe due to longevity. He's close to it. In the way that I say Shane Walsh, all due respect to him, probably doesn't.
Well, yeah.
Sorry, what was... who's Gaelic football's second biggest star or what Gaelic football player? Because I'd say Jim McGuinness probably has...
Yeah. Oh, sorry. McGuinness.
McGuinness was in charge of a club team. Yeah, that might be enough to attract more people.
Spillane, Brawley, all those boys.
Well, I'm more interested in active people right now in the game. I know you obviously Spillane and... Probably have their say, like I'm not saying it, but like people who would be there on the day on the pitch, either on the sideline or playing. I guess I use the Grafton Street test, right? Shane Walsh walks down, largely okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that many will know him off.
Largely
alone.
Fine.
Is it just to not to be always?
No, please do.
But this is Ireland where everyone's like,
No. He's serious.
What's your question here?
He could walk down Grafton Street unperturbed.
Yeah, but I think almost everybody can do that.
I'm not saying people would go up and bother David Clifford, but they would be like, everyone's looking at Loughlin.
Yeah.
David Clifford. So Shane Walsh goes down. I think he's fine. Michael Murphy, largely okay, I'd say.
It does depend on the day. Like, there's different characteristics. Like, he's such a big man, and so
he's also quite distinctive looking.
He's very distinctive looking. That contributes as well.
It does contribute. This is the Henry Winter stuff about a manager carrying himself a certain way in a sideline, right? So David Clifford, as long as being incredibly talented in the big start, is extremely distinctive looking. Michael Murphy might fat that test. I don't know if there's any Dublin players that would. Not anymore. I'd say Philippe McMahon.
It's Conor Callaghan. Philly's gone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I saw him on Grafton Street Action.
Who?
Recently, Philippe McMahon.
Conor Callaghan. If you're putting him in it, it's like you've got about five or six.
Mike, you know what? Would the original question is, would they attract more people to a club final if they played with Michael Darren McCauley? I don't think so.
No.
No, but attracting more people to a final is different from who's their second most.
It is. That is a different
They're
question.
Totally different.
I don't think so. David Clifford plays in a club final. More people are going to that than normally would have. Yeah. So who's the second player
David Clifford has his own brand of clothing.
The
stratospheric level of.
So David Clifford has the name recognition, right?
Yeah.
He has that. But he has also the fact that you could go along and he could do something outrageous and you want to see that.
Yes.
So which...
Like, he's Rory McIlroy level of talent.
Yeah, he's that like kind of unicorn thing where it's everything. He's the full package.
Okay, who's saying that really?
Well, Conor Callaghan. If Conor Callaghan gets fit and has 5 months uninterrupted where his hamstrings aren't betraying him, like this, the trajectory that he was on before the injuries hit, and all he needs is one season to come back.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, I think it's a. I don't know. Like, but last year, were you going to the All Ireland final because Coola were in it? Like, that is a relatively recent acid test for it.
We were looking for ways to market the club final. Well, I think that's a weird parameter. Like, I don't want to see Coola win. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm
why not?
Because my kids go to Vincent's.
But like, yeah, but they're all.
I want to see my rivals win.
Your kids are. Dublin born?
Yeah.
And why not? They're representing Dublin. We were having this discussion last week because De La Salle, obviously, you're very. Don't really want to see Ballygunner win.
Yeah, I'm the same.
All right. Well, then you're never getting more people into these games.
Well, I think.
If it's going to be that parochial.
Well, I think if Fossa were playing, I'd be bringing the kids.
Yeah, because you have no connection to it. But, like, in terms of, like, you don't go see Fossa if David Clifford's not playing.
Did you look at the comments? You didn't see the last comment? Yes, I don't know who.
About
a dolphin laugh, but
no, I don't think so.
You have now.
I don't think I have. Go on.
I say, don't read. Look at something. You looked. The second biggest star is Paddy. Stays in the family.
We said that yesterday.
Yeah, kind of, but I don't know at the same time.
I think there's a distinctiveness to Paddy.
So great. Is the summary here? Gaelic football's in a great place at the moment. Brilliant with the new rules. Exciting club final. Generally speaking, last season intercounty game it was quite good up until maybe the semi-finals. Lack of stars? Is that a fair summation of what we just said?
That's a great question. No, like, I don't think so, because if you still go through it, like, if you go through, this year, the Connacht Championship, right?
Mm.
Very low down on most people's kind of radar of things, you know, normally. But you have all of a sudden, like, Andy Moran. Like, the stars might not necessarily be the players in terms of the way they
maybe
were.
Kobe.
Yeah, he's not playing yet, really, is he? Like, yeah, I don't think he'd be starting kind of championship against Kobe. It'd be interesting to see if he gets much time in the league. But, like...
If they intend to use Kobe this year, it's a one and done, right? Because they know he's going next year. But you use him sparingly, so there's...
My point is, I don't think it's reliant on him. Like, I still think you're looking into that, you're like, right, you got Andy Moran in there. Looking forward to seeing who it is. Colin Boyle in the backroom team. You still have Joyce, who was absolute star in that kind of Clifford mould, just in terms of like full look at him like, and then you have Eamon O'Hara and Sligo. Like, there's an added little kind of thing that it's kind of, there's a bit more to it. But I mean from a relative standpoint, I'm not saying like people are interested, but like way more than they were in Tony McEntee, people will be interested in what happens with Eamon O'Hara at Sligo and Desi Sloane. So maybe it's managers, maybe it's coaches that.
I think it absolutely is. Like, if Jim McGuinness is managing a random club team and not on a club final, I think people are definitely interested.
Yeah.
And that's an incredible star quality to have. You're not even playing, and people are going.
Carl Dillon is talking here. In terms of two-sidedness, Shane is comfortably the most bilateral across all skills in Ireland. That's
right.
Shane Walsh. But in terms of being well-known, Clifford is obviously most well-known for sure.
Well, there's no comment on his talent. His talent is supreme. I mean,
yeah, that's it. Like, it's not necessarily the most talented player. It's the star, overall star.
I think, be honest, I think that post All-Ireland final where he was man of the match in the beaten team.
In 22.
I think that if we were having that conversation then, but his form hasn't been amazing. Although he did win a club All-Ireland since, didn't he?
Yeah. But wasn't he injured for most of last year and still played?
Paul Galvin.
Yeah, see, I was thinking, so there's three people in my head straight away. Was Kieran McDonald, Paul Galvin, Dermot Connolly. I go to any, if their respective clubs got into a club final and I was around, I'd go. Definitely. Now, there are more talented players than Paul Galvin, but I would say the guy's a star.
Yeah.
So I would go see him.
Marty Clark's
Why are you more attracted to stars than, say, in the Ballygunner case where they're like, this is, I know you weren't around whatever this weekend, but in the Ballygunner case, they're acknowledged as like a serious team.
Yeah.
This, we're talking hurling now, I suppose. That's like a, and they are, they're a brilliant team to watch. They are an unbelievable team. And they don't maybe necessarily have a standout star a la whoever. Loads of great players. Like, but why would you not be more compelled to go and see really good version of the sport
It's a good question. I'm going to give you an answer that's going to be very unsatisfactory. That I think hurling has completely different characteristics than football. That the helmets, first of all, make this way more difficult for recognisable stars, I would say.
They should put names on the back, shouldn't they? Aren't they?
But I would say for hurling.
What?
A name won't help you recognise a face.
But it'll help us recognise the shape and the gait and everything.
I would be quicker to attend the club final of a great hurling team. But for my personal reasons, I'd be more attracted to the individual quality in football.
Yeah. The atomization of Irish life encapsulated in one.
Yeah. Jeez, I don't know. I've definitely...
Does that make sense at all?
I even think about it. We definitely would have gone to like games that have no link.
I quicker go to a no-link hurling game.
Joe Canning was playing for Galway. Or like, you're not necessarily going to club games, but like... Yeah. I don't know, it's a very interesting thing.
Yeah.
The Stars of Gaelic football.
Stars of Gaelic football. Go on, give us a list. Now, what's happening here?
It depends on where you're from as well. If you're from Tyrone, you're like the Canavans.
Yeah,
for sure. People are shouting at the radio, and is it McElroy? Who came through at the end of last season?
Oh, yeah, they're...
Why am I blanking on his name?
The young fella who started in the...
Brian McGuigan. Like, there's loads of you are intimately familiar with. If you're but we're talking here the crossover stars, there is also still a reluctance for individuals to be in any way pushed up above the team because it's not the done thing. Think of Bernard Brogan, King of the Hill.
Hold on, Carlinho's about to leave. We're not talking about football. Hold on, there's Champions League tonight. Relax, Champions League. We can do it ourselves, don't worry. But here's the thing about the Champions League, right? And we can go back to this Gaelic football recognisability chat by all means. I'm going to name you fixtures, right? Tell me what are you excited about tonight in the Champions League, right? Man City go to Bodo Glimt at 5:45. I tell you what, the only attractive thing about that is it's nice and early. Inter against Arsenal. That's not bad on paper. Thierry Henry's great goal to San Siro. Remember that? And Marseille Liverpool.
That could be good if Marseille are up for it.
No.
De Zerbi.
Where is everyone in the table?
Later, Carl.
Arsenal top of the league. 6 from 6 in the Champions League.
Oh, what are we doing? We're going through the Champions League group. Like, it makes no point.
So,
what's excited,
right? That's not my point. Right, so where are Liverpool?
I mean, Spurs versus Dortmund is tonight, right?
Liverpool are ninth.
This week, anyway. I'm not sure tomorrow.
Who's out? So, any big guns outside the top 24?
Yeah, kick off
Ajax. Ajax having an atrocious season. Ajax and Villarreal down the bottom. Athletic Bilbao. Otherwise, the top 24, fairly predictable. Now, I will watch the Champions League. But is there an appetite out there for us to preview the Champions League? And I would ask that question genuinely.
I think, if your team is in it, you're really into it. your team isn't in it, so you don't care about
it's
it.
Not about, it's not about that.
That is a bit.
It's not about that. It's not about that. It's not about that.
My experience last year with Aston Villa, right, you're like, oh, this doesn't matter.
I bleed football. I bleed
football. This is like one of the greatest things that's ever happened. And the difference between being in the top eight and not in the top eight is actually massively fundamental. And you're like, well, what is this? I don't know about this.
That's your projection.
Who cares about this?
That's your projection, right?
No, I literally experienced it last year.
No, I would agree.
I'm sorry, I disagree with both of you.
I can't believe you're taking this man's side for that.
I do agree with you.
Yeah. Look, I bleed football, but my blood type is Man United. That's the difference.
That's a mad statement.
Right?
Yeah, I know, but if Man United were going to Marseille tonight, we'd be talking about it now.
Yeah,
we're going to be short now because of
what part of the city is it? Oh, look, it's the Mason Greenwood Derby. How's he getting on? What happened there?
Remember that?
Jesus Christ.
I can't say that. Can't mention it.
Club legend.
Nobody should mention United because
they got rid of, don't do that. Like, don't, you can't tarnish them with everything. They got rid of him.
It was an aside.
They were going to sign him, and then they surveyed the fans and better not sign him.
They're getting back in the team.
Yeah, no, because like United is the circus that people go to. Like,
it's also the team you support.
Yeah.
I don't think you can distinguish.
But it's not for me personally, no.
I think it would be talked about.
Listen, we're going to do a Champions League start tomorrow on the show. That's going to happen. And United still won't be in the competition. And I'll still attack that with gusto. I'll still look forward to that conversation. You know what I mean?
We're not talking about review. Review's fine. But review's guaranteed.
So is your appetite for this, the Champions League discussion? No sign of Aston Villa.
I think the Champions League is a great competition. And I think it's really easy to write off this period.
I'm not writing it off. I'm just saying, where's the appetite for it?
You didn't even get to the end of the sentence.
What's the appetite for it?
Okay.
Second biggest star in Gaelic football.
I do, like, it is interesting, but it is too bloated in terms of, it feels kind of mad that we're coming back for more group stage games the other side of Christmas.
Mm.
I do wish they'd finesse that it kind of, there's a little bit of demarcation between one and the other, that it's just you have whatever six. I know they won't do that now because obviously the financial aspect of it, but it does feel very drawn out, and at the same time it feels so intense. I mean, even from the club's point of view, like, I don't know, not to bring everything back to Arsenal, but like, they have two Champions League games to play in the next few weeks, a second leg of a Carabao Cup. They're still in the FA Cup, presumably, so that'll be in the next few weeks as well. And every league game is of immense importance. I know it's kind of pressure's a privilege, all that type of thing, but like, it's a tough one.
They will actually be able to ease up, though, right? In the final Champions League game, they can play a B team at that stage.
You can, but there's still money. There's still, like, if you win, you get two, three million.
Yeah.
I know it's not a gold mine, but it's like, it's not. I remember Klopp talking about that with Liverpool before.
Yeah, I do think to the point that their strength and depth is so great at the moment that they can probably afford to play all those bench players, give them meaningful minutes, and credibly believe that they can win. I think, you know, if you have Ferreira Eze on your B team's pretty good at the moment.
But that's one of the things I was wondering about, and I saw someone bring it up. Guardiola was talking afterwards, and to be fair, it was brought up to him, he didn't bring it up, about the schedule and the demands on the players. And then you see a situation, I don't think he played the full 90 minutes, but there's a situation where he uses Haaland against Exeter. I can never understand that. I can never understand why they...
I think that they're concerned about their form. I think that, like, there was a miss that Haaland had the previous week, and his form, and they're trying to get some confidence back into him.
It's not just Haaland, sorry.
It didn't work.
I think
he picked an unusually strong team.
10-1, like.
Yeah. I think there was a few times recently where they did that, wasn't there? He obviously believes in picking the strong team to get the team into some kind of... Because when you see the level of science that Chelsea are using, everybody else has access to the same science about the minutes and high-speed sprints and the data and the individual players. Like, they're all using incredible software to track player fitness. So there's obviously something that he has in his head that they're wrestling with something. Just in passing, it was mentioned yesterday, Henry Winter, he doesn't think Pep's going anywhere. I don't know. I felt like he's looking a bit exhausted again.
Yeah, but he has this incredibly exciting new team.
Yeah.
Like... Whatever, nobody, he'll be under no pressure if he doesn't win anything this year. There'll be no pressure whatsoever on him.
When you say no pressure, right, what does that mean? Like,
in terms of, like, he's not going to have people hounding him out.
No, they're never going to hound Pep out now, really.
So like he'll have personal pressure, professional pressure, whatever. I mean that, but like he'll have basically 6 months where he'll be desperately trying to win things. But you also have 6 months to bed Gaye in, bed Semenyo in, kind of make whatever judgments on whoever else, see what they need, spend whatever other money they spend in the summer. And then
it's just that he needs to be at the business end of everything. Like he's been the black hole around which all of world football has revolved for two decades. And now that's not the case. Now his team is just another team. They're a really good team, right? Don't get me wrong, but like they're grand compared to the other teams in world football. And most of those teams in world football, he would no doubt believe he'll be able to beat on any day. But also everybody now thinks they can beat them. Like everybody in the Champions League they're playing from the next round on is like, yeah, we can knock the semi.
It's interesting though, like it is, because we do think about that. They've, and I'm not, I do agree with you broadly, but it is funny how short the span is of your kind of peak, like where they won it once.
I know,
they won it once. And it's like, they've probably still been the team of the last whatever years, but once, and even that was kind of a bit scratchy in the end. It's incredible, really, but yeah.
I guess that's the perception of them. It's like Roger Federer won the French Open once. It's not really held against him that much.
Nadal was injured.
Yeah. He didn't even play. He's never beaten Nadal at the French Open. It's not really held against him. It's like, I know, you take Roger Federer for what he is, a great. Man City and Pep Guardiola, the same thing. He's underperformed in Europe. But
yeah,
he wouldn't, when you're talking about the great managers, he's still up to like people. A lot of people have Pep Guardiola as the greatest.
I do find that interesting because you always hold that against Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, I think they could have.
Pep Guardiola, certainly the same.
I'm saying you wouldn't. I actually would. They've spent more money than any other team in the history of world football, and they've won once. I don't think that's. I actually think that his impact on world football is more pronounced than distilling it down to that.